Chapter 1. The bright red standard with the gilded Occitan cross, the flag of the Count of Toulouse, fluttered from the bridge gate barbican to taunt Bermond the closer he approached. The most powerful, as well as the wealthiest, of the crusading princes, this Provençal magnate had never been happy with the application of the right of conquest, for the fear it would not fall to him. He had chosen well if he intended to dispute possession of the city with the leader of the Apulian Normans, whose banner fluttered high above the city, proclaiming it as a Bohemond fief. Outside the bridge gate lay the only crossing of the River Orontes, while over the arched stone bridge ran the roads leading north and south, as well as to the coast and the port of St. Simeon. These were all the points from which any supplies could come to what was now becoming a crusader garrison, one Toulouse could choke off if he so chose. As of this moment, the bridge gate, like the rest of the entries to Antioch, was wide open. Knights who had spent months outside Antioch, Provençal, Normans, Apulians and Lotharingians in their thousands, were busy moving all their possessions into the city, and behind them would come their foot-slogging milites, then those who provided support for an army on campaign, camp wives, sutlers, farriers, armourers, harness and saddle makers, as well as the drovers who looked after food on the hoof, people without which no host could hope to survive in the field. Last to enter would be the mass of non-combatant religious pilgrims, who, in the wake of the fighting men, had increasingly swelled the numbers travelling to Palestine, all intent on finding remission for past sins, as promised to them by Pope Urban. Useless mouths, who nevertheless demanded to be fed, they could not be left outside. Kerberger would simply massacre them. To observe the army as it trickled through the gates was to cast an eye over a much diminished force, for it was no longer the all-powerful entity which had crossed the Bosphorus from Constantinople the previous year. Siege warfare, battles in the field, disease, loss of faith in the crusading ideal leading to desertion had plagued them prior to Antioch. The long siege had only multiplied every one of those difficulties tenfold, and nowhere was it more obvious than in their lack of horses. The main advantage for Western knights in combat lay in their ability to impose their will by a shock charge when mounted, the foot soldiers used more as an aid than a body able to affect the outcome of a battle on their own. Now, this force of knights could barely muster one horse for every tenth lance. And, in terms of quality, they could not compare with the kind of mounts with which they had set out from home. Too many of those had died on the way. The Normans in particular, whether from the rain-washed north or sun-baked southern Italy, were reckoned the most fearsome warriors in the known world, but their reputation rested on animals they no longer possessed, the sturdy destriers as fearless as the men who rode them. No contingent, when they had set out, had been any better supplied when it came to horses trained for battle. Now, even with careful husbandry, Bermond had sent his herds away when they were not required to places with pasture. They were as near to deficiency as any of the others. As he approached the bridge gate, the thought of fighting for possession had to be put aside, regardless of the tactics employed. The crusade was a delicate construct, led by men who were too proud to allow anyone to hold sway over their actions. But the one purpose they all shared, and one they had sworn the most solemn oaths to progress, was an army must march on to Jerusalem to make it once more a Christian city. Should any of the princes allow their pride to overcome their faith, likewise, any of their men fall to fighting and killing each other rather than the infidel was held to be anathema and a certain route to perdition. The only result of such an action would be the complete collapse of the enterprise, with a massive amount of opprobrium being heaped on those who had broken their vows. Trial by single combat as a means of settling disputes was also out of the question. Yet, by his